Okay. Maybe by starting, you provoke that people then come. Right, good afternoon. We didn't have homework due, there's some homework back. I have new homework sheets. And these are till November 18, since I'm away. So that's why it is so much. So this is basically 3 weeks homework.
Okay.
You're gone starting next Friday?
I'm gone starting next Friday. So next week Friday, Dr. Patel will teach the class. Then the week after, Monday, Wednesday. And the Monday after, Dr. Wilson will teach the class. And the Friday, which is a Friday after the calculus exam, is canceled.
Okay.
That seemed to be the most appropriate day to cancel, given however most people's schedules are. The Friday, the 11th.
And it's all 11-11. Yeah, it's all the homework, too.
Yeah. So you can grade calculus or remember the end of the First World War or problem. The first problem, number 50, is about another case where Max Flohmin cut behaves a little bit strange. Namely, we take an irrational capacity. That is a situation where we have an irrational capacity, and actually flows can behave in a particular way where it doesn't even, where it not only not stops, but where it doesn't converge to anything sensible. Problem 51 is an application of Max Flohmin cut to some image processing problem, and then come problems about partition numbers and related things, and that's what we are going to do now. Yeah, so that is, but you have overall you have 3 weeks. This is 3 weeks time, or even 3.5 weeks time you have for these problems. So don't be scared about the amount. Right. Then, before everyone has the Halloween heartburn, I thought I'll pass this around today. You're welcome to take two or three, I think there are enough in there. Good. So, we will look at partitions, so this is chapter 5. This is about partitions, and tableaus, and I'll tell you later what a tableau is. Order irrelevant partition. And from now on in this chapter, I will just call these things partitions. Of n into k parts is a sum. N is equal to x1 plus x2 plus and so forth plus xk. And I want that x1 is greater or equal than x2 is greater or equal up to xk, and xk should be non-zero. So that will be a partition. So for example, if I look at partitions of 4, I can have 4 is 1, 4, or is 3 plus 1, or is 2 plus 2, or is 2 plus 1 plus 1, or is 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1. So these are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different ways to write, to get partitions of 4. We will, pk of n, and that's the same as we had in the first chapter, is the number of partitions, of n with exactly k parts. And so we have, and we will write p of n is the number of partitions of n. So we have seen here p of 4 is 5. And I claim that P3 of 7 is 4, because splitting 7 into 3 parts, I can write it as 5 plus 1 plus 1, or I can write it as 4 plus 2 plus 1. Or it could be 3 plus 3 plus 1, or it could be 3 plus 2 plus 2. And that's 5, that's 4 possibilities. So P3 of 7 is 4. Okay. We will in general denote partitions by lowercase Greek letters, and we will write lambda and then this turned T or turned orthogonal symbol, and this says is intended as lambda is a partition of N. And we will, instead of writing this sum, we will write, say in this case, 2 2s and a 3, we will write 2 squared, 3 to the 1, 4, 3 plus 2 plus 2. That's just a slightly more compact form of writing things. So that's how we will denote partitions. There is a nice graphical way for partitions. There are actually two nice graphical ways. One is called a fair. So what we are doing there is we are drawing lines where every line corresponds to one part of the partition, and we have them sorted, and we draw the different parts underneath. So if we have the partition 3, 2 squared, 1, I can denote it, I can draw lines, so I have a part 3 of 3, and I can write draw dots, I have 2 parts of 2, and I have a 1. And if I draw dots for this, then it is called the Ferrer's diagram. So the name has the S at the end. Ferrer's. Or I can draw boxes, and then it's called the Young diagram. There are some, and the reason for these two different depictions is that we will have one thing where it's easier to have the dots, to group them together, and later on we will want to draw numbers in these boxes, and that clearly is easier if there is actually space to draw things in there. I should mention this is the English language convention that the smaller numbers go down. In French, they draw it the other way around. The French have to do things differently. They stack it to the upwards. Okay. Right, and one more definition. The conjugate of a partition, if lambda is a partition of n, we have the conjugate lambda star is the partition which corresponds to the transposed diagram. So, for example, if we take this partition, if lambda is 3, 2 squared 1, then lambda star, what happens if I transpose? I get 4, 3, 1. Lambda star is 4, 3, 1. And it's obvious that if I conjugate twice, I get the original partition back. Okay. And the first question is, can we count how many partitions are there? And it turns out that count actually already gets sufficiently complicated in its own, but we'll try to do some things there. So this and then start. If I look at pk of n, so that's the number of ways to write n as a sum of k positive integers. Well, this is also equal to the number of ways of writing n minus k as sum of non-negative integers. Which is greater or equal than 0. And we can split this according to how many of them are 0. Let's suppose that S of them are 0, then I get a recursion. I get the recursion PK. Why do I have again a minus here? That's stupid. PK of n is the sum over s goes from 1 to k PS of n minus k. Do I want s? Oh, sorry, no, s. Sorry, that's exactly the wrong way. S. I want s to be the non-zero ones. Right? If I have fs of them non-zero, then they give me the same sum. They give me the same sum n minus k. And then I have a proper partition of them with non-zero parts, and the rest, well, since I know K and S, I know how many zeros of them there are. So that gives me this recursion formula, and we have initial values. Is that pk of n is 0 for n smaller than k, and pk of k is 1. Right, that's, I can't, if I want to have more non-zero summons than the number to reach, I clearly can't do that. If I want to have exactly as many summons as the number to reach, all of them have to be 1. That gives these two base cases, and this together gives a recursion which allows us to calculate this pk of n recursively.
Was that first word down the bottom?
These would be initial conditions or base conditions to start the recursion for calculating it. So, and from that, you can build some recursion for p of n, but I want to do things a little bit differently. So, proposition 5.1. This is about the generating function for the partitions. So we will be able to give a generating function, and that's not very hard. The hard bit would be to give a formula for the coefficients of the generating function. So the sum over n p of n t to the n is equal to the product over I greater or equal than 1, 1 minus t to the I to the minus 1. Yes, that is an infinite product on the right-hand side. Don't worry about convergence. So, why does this hold? Well, what is 1 minus t to the I to the minus 1. That is a geometric series, right? That is 1 plus t to the I plus t to the 2i plus t to the 3i and so forth. So, what is the right-hand side? If I look at the product over all I over 1 minus t to the I to the minus 1. What do I get? Well, I get first for I equals 1, I get 1 plus t squared and so forth. And the next one is 1 plus t squared plus t to the 4. And the next one is 1 plus t cubed plus t to the 6 and so forth. So, now I ask, if I expand this product, how is t to the n, how can t to the n be obtained in this product? In this product, t to the n is obtained as a product. Well, I have some factor from the first sum. So that's t to the a1. Times t to the 2, a2, times t to the 3, a3, and so forth, where the sum, yeah,
where the sum over the AI is equal to n. Right? If I... No, sorry, not over the AI, over I times AI is n. Right? That's how I would get... to get t to the n, I need to get sum. This is just saying how do the summons in each of the factors look generically, and how do I get t to the n? Well, if the sum of these is n. So, what I get is therefore, we get a partition 1a1, 2a2, 3a3, and so forth. And because this is bounded, clearly at some point all the coefficients have to be zero. So this isn't really an infinite partition. Whenever I have such a partition, I get t to the n. And that's exactly how I can get t to the n. That means I get t to the n exactly as often as I can form partitions. That is p of n different ways. And that proves this proposition. Yeah, that doesn't have... There isn't a nice way for calculating Taylor coefficients here, but we will be able to use it to get a recursion. If we, let me mention, so that finishes this theorem. Okay, so that is the generating function. If we only care about partitions with a fixed number of parts, we can do the same argument, but then this is just a finite product. So we can do the same argument for partitions with a fixed number of parts. And let me just do this in an example. Lambda 5,2. If I look at P3 of n, I claim this is the integer closest to n squared divided by 12. Okay. So, why is this the case? Let A of n, and I just give it a different name so I don't need to carry the index through, A3 of, and I want to do a shift. I want to have this to be P3 of n plus 3. So, that is the number of solutions to n is equal to x1 plus x2 plus x3, where I allow 0. So I have x1 is greater or equal than x2 is greater or equal than x3 is greater or equal than 0. So I do again this shift here and allow 0 instead. And now I do a variable change. Let y3 be equal to x3, y2 be equal to x2 minus x3, and y1 be equal to x1 minus x2. And if I do this, I get that an then an is the number of solutions of n is equal to y1 plus 2y2 plus 3y3.
Okay. And that just follows immediately if you plug in back for the y's how they are defined, you get back to the original situation. And now I do the same argument as before. Same argument as in this proposition 5.1 gives us that the sum over A of n t to the n is now sum over n is equal to 1 minus t inverse times 1 minus t square inverse times 1 minus t cubed inverse. And now I can do, well, with these things I multiply this out, that gives me a rational function with a denominator which has these three factors in there, and now I do partial fractions. I don't do it in detail here, these partial fractions were done before. So partial fractions give us that the sum over n a of n t to the n is equal to, and I mean this is not a calculation I would expect you to be able to do quickly, but I trust you will be able to, would if you wanted be able to just multiply this all out what I'm going to, or bring it on the same denominator and compare that it is equal. So I get 1 over 6 times 1 minus t to the minus 3. And it's in some way a slightly ugly, is it? Ugly partial fraction, because I get multiple, I get this factor 1 minus t several times. So you need to do partial fraction with multiple roots. Plus 1 over 4, 1 minus t to the minus 2, plus 17 over 72. 1 minus t inverse plus 1 over 8. Why do I have an A? That should be a 1. 1 over 8 times 1 plus t inverse, right? 1 minus t square is 1 minus t times 1 plus t. So I've dealt with this, I've dealt with this, I've dealt with the factor 1 minus t here, that there remains a quadratic polynomial, and that quadratic polynomial has as roots third roots of unity. So the other two summons will be plus 1 over 9 1 minus zeta times t inverse plus 1 over 9 1 minus zeta square t inverse, where zeta is e to the 2 pi I over 3. Primitive third root of unity. Okay, now I use the binomial series. What does the binomial series tell me? It says that 1 minus t to the minus a minus 1 is equal to the sum over j, a plus j, choose j, times t to the j. And if we plug this in for these different terms here, and we collect and we telescope, we get a of n is equal to 1 over 12, n plus 3 squared
minus 7 over 72 plus minus 1 to the n divided by 8 plus 1 over 9 times zeta of that zeta to the n plus zeta to the 2n. So this is just using this, plugging this in for these terms, and then you see that a lot of these terms cancel. Since this is a gradient course, I'm not going through the details of plugging this in, but just give the results. So what we have here is we have n plus 3 squared over 12. Right? And an was p of n plus 3. So what we just want to see is that this difference here is smaller than 1/2. So that rounding would bring it here. So let's look at this difference. A of n minus 1 over 12 n plus 3 squared is smaller or equal. Okay, now I take the difference and I take the absolute value, and I take simply the absolute value of all summons, triangle inequality. So this is less than 7 over 72 plus 1 over 8 minus 1 to the n, just bounded by 1. And here, if I look at the maximum value, I can get this is absolute value 2 over 9, and that together is less than 1/2. So that gives us this result. So we can give for the different pks, we can give formulas. Well, I've shown it for you for p3. You could do a similar argument for p4, for p5, and so forth. It's just this product becomes more and more ugly. But what you will get every time is some polynomial in n, and you can show that at some point you can truncate that it will be the integer closest to some polynomial expression in n for each pk. I don't want to do that generically, but I want to give you an asymptotic count of it. So that's proposition 5.3. For a fixed k, we have that pk of n becomes approximately equal to n to the k minus 1 over k factorial times k minus 1 factorial as n goes to infinity. So it's up to some scaling factor, and that scaling factor depends just on k. It is roughly like n to the k minus 1. And that's exactly what we had. So that's for p3, we would have n to the 3 minus 1, which is n squared, and in the denominator, we would get 3 factorial times 2 factorial, which is 12. So it's just here for 3, I can explicitly say it's the closest integer for bigger k. It's not the closest integer to the first term, but one would need to be more careful in estimating how many terms you need. Right. So let me see how far I... We'll do that easily. Famous last words. So, why does this hold? And that proof is a little bit different. So, let's suppose we have a partition into k parts. Suppose n would be x1 plus x2 plus and so forth plus xk, where we have x1 is greater or equal than x2, greater or equal, greater or equal than xk, greater or equal than 1.
Okay. Now, what would happen if I allow to permute these summons xi? Then it's not necessarily any longer a partition, but just what we call the composition. But I get compositions of n into k parts.
Permute the xi's, I get compositions of n into k parts. How many such compositions are there? Well, this is what we did in chapter 1. There are n minus 1, choose k minus 1, such compositions. That was part of what we did with the 12-fold way, where we did these counts. So, if I look at compositions into k parts, there are n minus 1, choose k minus 1. How many different ways do I have to permute these sums? Well, at most k factorial of them. Why do I say at most? Because if x1 and x2 are the same, there are some permutations which would give me the same. So, what I can conclude is that k factorial times pk of n is greater or equal than n minus 1 choose k minus 1.
Okay. Right.
So that's the first step. The next thing I want, yeah, and that doesn't, that, so since I want it asymptotic, I need to bound it from two sides. And for that, I will switch variables again. So, what I'm going to do is, I set yi be equal to xi plus k minus I for one I lying between 1 and k. Then I claim all yi are different. Why is this the case? Well, let's suppose it wasn't the case. If I have look at let's suppose I have yi is equal to yj. What is yi? Yi is xi plus k minus I. Yj is xj plus k minus j. Yeah. So I can cancel the plus k on both sides, and I would have xi minus I is equal to xj minus j. Well, let's assume without loss of generality that I is smaller than j. Well, if not, I switch the role of I and j. Well, that would tell us that xi is greater or equal than xj.
right? That just follows because I'm subtracting less here. If these numbers are equal, after I subtract the smaller number from xi, that means xi has to be larger, right? So if yi was equal to yj, xi would have to be greater or equal than xj. But I've chosen the x's that they are decreasing. I was the smaller index. So, or have I done exactly the wrong way around? I think I want, let me see. Do I want I smooth x? Yeah, I is smaller than j, so xi is... No, sorry. Oh, that's the rubbish part, right? So what did I say? Xi minus I is equal to xj minus j, and j is a larger number. So xi is smaller or equal than xj. That's the mistake. Because if I subtract the smaller number, I'm equal to having the larger number subtracted there. So xi is smaller or equal than xj. But I had xi is greater or equal than... and actually, because they're different numbers, I have not just smaller or equal. Because I and j are different, actually, it's strictly smaller. Right? They couldn't be equal because I'm subtracting different numbers. So it is strictly smaller than xj. On the other hand, xi is greater or equal than xj. That cannot happen. That's a contradiction. So what this shows is these yi, by doing this, all the yi's are different. And I want to have different values that I can talk about really having explicitly k factorial different permutations. So that's the only reason for this variable change. And it's not hard to see that we also have that y1 is greater or equal than y2, and so forth. Why is that? Because I have the x's which are ordered like this, and now I'm adding numbers which get smaller. And that's why I'm adding k minus I and not I. So that way I get that the y's are still ordered in the same way. Okay. So, what happens if I look at the sum of the yi's? So, then y1 plus y2 plus and so forth plus yk, what is this sum? Well, it's the sum of all the x's plus the sum of these terms, and that is in total simply n plus k times k plus 1 over 2, right? That's the sum over the numbers 1 to k. This is a partition of n plus k times, oh sorry, not k plus 1, k minus 1. Why that? Because, sorry, I'm starting at zero here, right? I'm subtracting. I take the numbers up to k minus 1. It's a partition of n plus k times k minus 1 over 2. Right. And this is a partition with all parts different. So, same argument as before, I get that k times Yeah, so the if I have different permutation, different permutations of the y's, I will get different compositions. And therefore, I get, yeah, so I look at k factorial times pk of n, and that every permutation gives me a different composition. So these will be all different compositions, but I don't necessarily get all of them. So this is smaller or equal than n plus k, k minus 1 over 2 minus 1, choose k minus 1. Okay. And now I take these two things together and I divide out the k factorial, and then I get that pk of n is greater or equal n minus 1 times n minus 2 and so forth up to n minus k plus 1. In the denominator I have k factorial, k minus 1 factorial. So I'm just expanding the definition of the binomial coefficients, and the k factorial is part of the denominator there. And here I get n plus ak minus 1. And what is ak? N plus, yeah. So we set ak shall be k times k minus 1 over 2, just to write something shorter. On the right hand side I get n plus ak minus 1 and so forth up to n plus ak minus k plus 1, and I get the same denominator, k factorial, k minus 1 factorial. Okay. Right. Now k we assumed was fixed, right? And so ak is also fixed. So what I have here, the denominator anyhow is the same. What I have is a polynomial which is up to some coefficients which will give me lower order terms. In both cases the polynomial is n to the k minus 1 plus lower order terms. And since I have this estimate, that in both directions, this means if n goes to infinity, this pk of n has to behave like n to the k minus 1 divided by these two. And that's the proof. And that's more than the time I should have spent today. Thank you very much, and I'll see you on Friday. And then we will start looking at a way how one can count partitions, not just the pk, but generally the p. And that is a, I find, rather surprising way how we get towards counting it, but more about that on Friday.